Lectura del Santo Evangelio según San Mateo. En aquel tiempo, un doctor de ley le preguntó a Jesús para ponerlo a prueba: Maestro, ¿cuál es el mandamiento más grande de la ley? Jesús le respondió: Amarás al Señor tu Dios con todo tu corazón, con toda tu alma y con toda tu mente. Ese es el más grande, el primero de los mandamientos. El segundo es semejante a este: Amarás a tu prójimo como a ti mismo. En estos dos mandamientos se funden toda la ley y los profetas. Palabra del Señor. Sentados. Very famous book written on marriage was written probably about 50 years ago by the greatest preacher that we had in this country last century, and his name was Archbishop Fulton Sheen. He was the first tele-evangelist on TV and radio. And the name of the book was It Takes Three to Get Married. They are Brian, Rebecca, and Jesus Christ. Amen? So that's going to be my homily. I'm going to try to develop that. Okay? Brian, Rebecca, and Jesus Christ. So I'd like to make five suggestions so that both of you starting today can construct a very, very happy, holy marriage. Number one is you have to pray together. You have to pray together. You probably heard that saying, the family that prays together stays together. It's true. So get in the habit of praying together. You can pray in the morning when you get up, pray before you go to work, pray before you have your dinner together, pray before you go to bed, but get in the habit of prayer. And the beauty of prayer is this. If I were to call you on my cell phone, it might be busy. But whenever you want to talk to God, God is never too busy. And that's extraordinary how humble God is, that He's always available to enter into dialogue and conversation with us. So pray together. Number two is this. Try to grow in the knowledge of your faith. Study your faith. You're young, you know your faith somewhat, but we can always grow to know our faith better. What should we read? Read the Bible. Read the Word of God. Read good books. You know, there's a lot of bad stuff out there, but there's a lot of good stuff too. There are a lot of good DVDs that are coming out from Christian companies over the past, I'd say, the past 20 years, no? So, watch good movies. Watch good documentaries. Read good books. Read the Bible. For example, right now I'm giving a course on St. Paul every Tuesday. We're going through the letters of St. Paul to the Romans and then the Corinthians. It's really good to get to know our faith better by reading and studying. The third is this. I think every married couple should make a retreat every year. Probably before you got married, your preparation, you probably made a weekend encounter, at least one day. Every year, set aside at least a weekend which you can get off to be with each other and to spend time going deeper in your relationship with God. Go off to a retreat house. In 2 weeks, I'm going up to Alhambra. I'll be giving an 8-day retreat. Okay? as I've been doing the past 12 years, no? In which I'll be going with 65 people, I'll be giving about 4 talks a day, which you can move away from activism. You know what activism is? Activism is this. We become workaholics as Americans. We work and 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 work. And we end up by having burnout before we hit 50, okay? So it's a good idea to pull aside and spend that time with God by making retreat. Okay, the next is this. The Bible teaches us these three principles, three phrases that you have to say in your married life. You have to learn how to say, I love you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. Amen? You have to learn how to say those. Okay, I love you, I'm sorry, and I forgive you. Those are, I'd say, the three most important things you have to say, and you got to say it every day. One of the biggest problems once you get married is you can start to take each other for granted. That happens, no? I'll tell you an experience I had. About 5 years ago, I traveled to New Hampshire to celebrate a diamond jubilee. Know what that is? 60 years. And I celebrated that diamond jubilee, and after the mass, I was sitting down with a couple. They invited me to have a meal with them. And one of them said, you know, we've never had a serious problem in 60 years. They have 9 children, 39 grandchildren. They even have a son who's a priest. That's me. How about that? So that was my parents. 60 years, never had a serious problem in 60 years. Why? Because they put God in the center. Yeah, 9 children and 7 boys, huh? Boys, those are the toughies, huh? But they put God in the center. And what you have to learn is this. The best marriage is not the marriage that has disagreements. But the best marriage is the one who has disagreements and is able to reconcile before the sun goes down. Amen? So you're going to have disagreements. You're going to have quarrels. You're going to have, as St. Paul says, malentendidos, which means you misinterpretations. But never go to bed angry at each other. That's the best way to ruin marriages, is unresolved conflict. Okay? When you got unresolved conflict, which turns into resentment and anger and bitterness and rancor and then hatred, hey, marriages end because of that. So learn how to be humble and learn how to say, I love you, but I'm sorry, and also I forgive you. Okay, last but not least, one of the most important purposes of the married life is to be open to life, which means the fruit of love between man and woman in the marital act is God gives you a child. That's the great gift. And here's the word, procreation. Do you know what procreation means? Procreation means that you are creating with God another human being. Wow. That's incredible. Is that the man and woman provide the material part. But in the moment of conception, what happens? God intervenes and infuses an immortal soul that will be living for all eternity. I've often thought one of the most beautiful things in the universe is a woman with a baby in her womb. Wow. myself as a priest, a woman with a baby in the womb, I have the greatest reverence and respect for that. And you know who's really forming that baby? God is forming that baby. Psalm 139. I form you in your mother's womb. So when children come, and hopefully God is going to send you children, when children come, receive those children as a great gift to God. But also educate the children. I say that a child is like a sponge. When a sponka. A child is like a sponge. What does a sponge do? It absorbs, right? I could put a sponge here and I put dirty water in and I'm going to be wringing out dirty water. I can put a sponge there and put clear spring water and then the pure spring water. So make sure that the child that you give is the greatest gift in the world that God can give to you. But your purpose is to bring that child to heaven, to be with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. So I'm going to pray for both of you that this is going to be the happiest day in your life. But every day, every year is going to be even more happy until both of you are in heaven with God for all eternity. Amen.